Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed, we are, and it is Season 4, Episode 15.
Indeed it is. Congratulations, I think that's the first time we've ever done the episode number and not been like, oh, which episode number is it? We finally got to the point where we are a slick podcast and you can do that without having to discuss it beforehand.
Exactly, we're so pro now. So this week's episode, or this episode,
Is
Drew?
stealth games. We have done like a game theme episode for a while, for quite a while, I don't think.
No, yeah, not the sort of, we've like talked about specific games, but not themed thing. So yeah, we were walking home from role playing with another
We
friend of
were.
ours, and I don't know how we got onto stealth games,
No,
but
well, I yeah, we were talking about well,
oh,
we were talking
games
about
you replay,
Oh,
wasn't it?
yes, it was. And we were looking for just we were trying to find some topics. We were just
Yeah,
yeah we
oh,
just
that's
we
it. We were talking about what can we talk
one
about on the
thing.
game, and then we talked about replaying games, and so then you asked Martine, oh, what games do you replay? And then I think she said Splinter Cell.
She did, yes.
And then
That's
we were
how we got
like,
into it.
oh, there aren't many stealth games around that anymore, or whatever. That's yeah, so that's how we are where we are, if you want to know our thought process, which they might not want
No, but
to.
that's behind the scenes. That's the back end of this podcast is.
Yeah, that's how it happens. That's how the magic happens, people. So stealth games. And I think, because at the time we were like, yeah, that seems like a sort of throwback kind of thing that we don't really have stealth games anymore. But then doing our research, we realized there are actually a lot of stealth games kind of in disguise as just kind of action adventure games.
It's kind of a genre that, like, when it came out, when it was the big thing, so early on in like the PlayStation era and even the kind of NES and SNES era, they were kind of, stealth was kind of a monolithic term where you have a stealth game, and you still have kind of stealth games which are focused on stealth, but it's become more a set of mechanics than a genre unto itself. So it's something that you can easily bring into other genres. There was that sort of period in the PS2 era where there seemed to be an
Trend.
unnecessary stealth section added onto every kind of action game. And now you do still kind of see them in. Like, I think there's a couple of stealth sections in like Telltale games. You can kind of transplant it into any genre, and it still mostly works nowadays.
You're right. There was that period though when it'd be like, oh God, they've put a stealth bit in, and it would be like this interminable scene because it just, you just had to get through it basically.
And
So
the engine wouldn't be like built to design
no, so it'd
to
just
support
be
it.
a nightmare, and everybody would be tearing there. I'd forgotten about those days.
We'd repress those, put them behind
Yeah,
us.
those memories. But yeah, so it was interesting looking at the, because obviously the things that come up are the sort of Metal Gear and Tenchu, which came out pretty much in tandem, and I liked Tenchu. I didn't like Metal Gear, as everybody knows.
I was kind of the other way around. I didn't think that much of Tenchu, and I was well into the Metal Gear games, even up until up until now. I've never gotten out of the Metal Gear games. I think there was Siphon Filter as well, with the other one that was in the trilogy, but that's kind of fallen by the wayside.
And then Splinter Cell, which was the one that our friend Martine said was a game that she returns to. So Splinter Cell came, I think it was like sort of the next generation of stealth games, wasn't it, after
Yeah,
Metal
it
Gear and
was. Yeah, so the
Tenchu.
first. It was kind of one of the early Xbox sellers, I think. The killer apps for the Xbox, which
And I loved
deservedly
it.
so. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
preferred Splinter Cell to Metal Gear again. So it was just the sort of the UI for me on Metal Gear was just completely, it felt like I needed an extra hand in order to hold all the buttons down to like access my smoke grenades or my cigarettes or something. And yeah, it just annoyed me. So, and Tenchu was just beautiful and sort of calmer and, just that beautiful sort of Japanese setting, sort of clacking over sort of clay rooftops and cherry blossom and bursting through paper walls and all that sort of stuff, and all the bombs being in little clay urns and things. Yeah, just like lots of nice details. There was a lot of blood when you killed someone, though.
Yes.
Do
Oh, yeah, I
you
remember
remember that? It
that.
was just like the sound effects were immense, and the whole screen was just like splattered with blood, which was slightly unnecessary, but it was the 90s, so what are you gonna do? Yeah, and then Splinter Cell, I really loved that. I don't know why I liked that more than Metal Gear. I think the other thing that annoyed me about Metal Gear was the sort of pretentiousness of it all, just kind of got on my nerves.
It's a game that needs about three quarters of its dialogue cut out, I think.
I mean, I liked watching people play it, but I really didn't want to play it myself. And Splinter Cell just felt like a sort of tight, sort of military thriller.
It's got a much more of a slickness to it.
Yes, yeah, it does. Yeah, but I haven't played any of those in a long time.
No. I mean, that's one of the games that I occasionally do go back and, well, try to play. I get a couple of levels in and then give up with the third one, which was, I think everyone kind of, among the fan base, I think everyone thinks Chaos Theory, which is the third one, was kind of the pinnacle of the series. I may be wrong. One of the new ones may have come out and blown it away, but as I remember, that was the one where it was, they kind of got the mechanics down so well and made it look so good. That yeah, that's the definitive Splinter Cell experience for me.
And then, of course, Hitman was around the same era, which, they've just released a sort of a new episode or section of their new one. The summer pack just came out for free this week. I was going to try and play that before this episode, but something came up and I couldn't. My gaming slot last night was taken up. I really loved Hitman as well, like right from the first game. Someone I knew in the industry kind of gave me a copy. It was like, oh yeah, this came in today, but it's like really hard and nobody can do it. But yeah, for some reason, I could really work with Hitman, and they were just like, yeah, he went back to the office, and who's just like, yeah, Shella's just like killing it in Hitman. They were like, what? But how? Yeah, I don't know. It just like really gelled with me.
Yeah, I think maybe it's because you'd seen all the films like that Hitman, because the opening levels of Hitman, they're all kind of setups to film scenes. There's the one from like, is it Goodfellas or The Godfather? I forget which one it is. Where they like, there's a mission where you have to like hide a gun in the toilet at a restaurant, and then you come out and start shooting, and like it's doing a lot of film set pieces. And there's the one where you kind of get onto a rooftop, you've got a briefcase, you unpack your sniper rifle, you do all that stuff. The first Hitman game was kind of like, rather than being sort of the kind of open procedural game that the sequels became, and especially the newest one, that is a game that kind of, it's subtle about it, but it does hold your hand through quite a lot of it and send you like set you up to do classic film Hitman scenes, if you know what I mean.
But then surely everybody would have got on with it.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know if everyone's as cinematically literate as perhaps you and I.
As this podcast
Yes.
demonstrates so capably every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was that. Maybe that's why it gelled with me so much. And yeah, I
Yeah,
just
'cause
kind of
it's a
sunk
different
my teeth into
experience.
it.
To for example, Splinter Cell, in which you're kind of like, if you go down the wrong path in Splinter Cell or you alert a guard in Splinter Cell, that's not it. But if in Hitman you go off the path and get seen by all the guards, that's basically it. You have to start over.
You can try and shoot your way out, but it doesn't work. Although I had that in Splinter Cell a lot as well.
And I think that is something that is, that was one of the major problems that I had with especially early stealth games, is that I'm kind of a perfectionist when I play mm-hmm. any video games, not necessarily stealth games. Mm-hmm. And if I get seen in a stealth game, that's the point at which I stop and reload a previous save.
Okay.
So when I was playing, for example, Dishonored 2, which does that as well, I played as Emily, who... So there are two different characters in Dishonored 2, if you haven't played it. There's Corvo and Emily, and they have different sets of powers. And if you play as Corvo, you have a rewind time power. So if you mess up and get seen, you can rewind time about 10 seconds and do the move again, basically. Emily doesn't have that, but you can still do it because it's got a kind of quick save system. You can save when you're on top, you know, standing on top of the chandelier, jump down. If it all goes wrong, you can just load your save and you'll be standing on top of the chandelier again. So you still have the same power, it's just... like, it's not in engine, it's not in canon, you're breaking the... And that annoyed me.
Yeah, me too.
It made me feel like I was failing at it, in a way that I wouldn't have felt if I was playing as Corvo, you know?
Yeah, I think I felt like I'd picked the wrong character with Dishonored 2.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which was really annoying, because that time... pause element was featured really heavily in the trailers mm-hmm. and demos, and I didn't realize that only one of the characters had it.
So
that was really annoying, because if I was going to go back to that game, I'd probably start again with Corvo.
As Corvo,
so if you ever play Dishonored 2, play as Corvo. That was a bit of a shame. But that said, I do love the Dishonored games. I really like the kind of... the fact that they give you all these really cool tools. And then if you watch someone on YouTube who's really adept and really creative... it is just incredible what some people do with the stuff that you're given in Dishonored, just like sort of blinking into midair and then like blinking out and sort of just incredible kills. They're just amazing. They're just
I wish I had time enough to get that good at a game like that. Because I can imagine that it's a lot of fun when you can pull that stuff off.
So much fun, because you must just think up, that's like, oh, so what if I do this, and then what if I throw them in midair, but then I do that. It's just incredible. But that's one of the things that when we were before the show, that we were saying, is the thing with stealth games is you can't snatch a quick half hour on a stealth game. You need to set aside at least a good 2-3 hours.
I mean, I think, that's certainly true in the sort of beginning of a stealth game. So, because you were saying you were going to play the new Hitman yesterday before you realized you had something else that you booked. And, you played the first... I mean, how much did you play of it? It was, half an hour, an hour?
Yeah, I had half an hour spare, so I was like, right, I'm just going to jump in, but the demo pack gives you the tutorial on the yacht, which you have to get through in order to get to the thing. So I managed to do the first one, which is fairly simple because they're giving you all the advice. And I only had time to do that. And then it was like, right, do it again, but in your own style kind of thing. So half an hour.
I can tell you, after having done the demo level, you have absolutely not seen anything of what that game actually is. You've learned the mechanics, but you haven't, like, that game has a really specific structure and rhythm which the tutorial levels do not convey at all.
I'm looking forward to jumping into that one.
It's a really good one. It's an interesting game.
I haven't played Hitman for ages, and I did really love it.
And
then I guess we could kind of talk about the ones that are, I suppose, because Martin said The Last of Us, and I was just like, hey, that's not a stealth game. But then we were saying before the show, because I was like, why do people keep lumping Last of Us into stealth games? But I guess it's one of those that has stealth mechanic, but it doesn't necessarily sort of, because it's, you know, you're not really sneaking around houses trying to steal stuff, you're not a spy, you know, all those things that cut, all those connotations that come with the word stealth don't apply to The Last of Us.
I played that game mostly as a stealth game. Like, even in the combat is very heavily focused on not being seen and getting the drop on enemies, because if you do just go toe-to-toe with them in a kind of cover-based gunfight, you are you might do okay, but it's not the optimal way to play, you know?
No, absolutely, especially with the clickers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I just had to readjust. I was just like, why is that? And then, of course, the core mechanics of, yeah, having to not alert people and being able to pretty much see through walls or hear really well are just like two key identifiers of a stealth game. So, just as, you know, Batman. The Arkham games, I wouldn't have necessarily place them as stealth games, you know, like at the drop of a hat, it would be Metal Gear, Tenchu, Hitman, you know, those Splinter Cell as stealth games. But yeah, it's really interesting how those stealth mechanics, like we were saying at the beginning, have become elements of games that are sort of more than, you know, the classic sort of military espionage type thing, sort of you're a spy.
I think
Have at it.
this was a point I was going to make earlier before I kind of got sidetracked myself talking about Dishonored. But yeah, when I was talking, I think a huge reason for stealth having become a set of mechanics rather than a genre unto itself in more recent times is because in early games, being spotted with a failure state, which is why I would always reload and start again rather than trying to fix what I'd done. I think in newer games, and I'm thinking specifically of kind of the Arkham games and Last of Us and what was the other one I was thinking of? Metal Gear Solid 5 to an extent. If you get seen in any of those games, the game, like, you're not punished. The game is not over. You are just, you have to use the other set of mechanics now. So in Batman, it's the kind of the brawling mechanic. In The Last of Us, it's, you know, that it's a competently made, no, an amazingly made shooter. And in Metal Gear Solid 5 as well, there are better shooting mechanics that the previous games didn't have. So in the newer games, when you get spotted, you have to go into the other area of the game. And in more recent times, that has been better made. They don't just make stealth games anymore, they make good action games which have, you know, fully
Which
functional
have,
stealth mechanics.
absolutely.
So we've kind of faded away from calling it a genre into itself. I suppose you'd still call Metal Gear Solid 5 a stealth game, but like there's a mission I always remember in that game where you kind of can't avoid being seen. There's a mission where you have to. So you go through a village, you're infiltrating a village and looking for something specific, and then some tanks show up and you have to lay a trap for them. And I thought, well, how am I going to do that silently? And it turns out that you can't really. But that mission then turns into like Die Hard, you know? It's you hiding behind walls and kind of running from cover to cover and trying to sort of deal with all these tanks, which you're not really capable of doing as one person, but John McClane would be, so you are. And yeah, it's. I remember in an old Metal Gear Solid game, I would have hated that. In Metal Gear Solid 5, it enhanced the experience quite a lot.
It is. It's interesting how I suppose it's that open world kind of sandbox gameplay that's, you know, become the standard, means that just having a very narrow set of skills just doesn't really appeal anymore. What was the one I was going to bring up? Was you were talking? I've forgotten. Oh yeah, Assassin's Creed. We haven't talked about Assassin's Creed, because that wasn't one that I would have immediately thought of as a stealth game either.
No.
I
Depends which game
suppose,
you play.
yeah, because I suppose the first one really was because you couldn't even run,
No, exactly.
otherwise you'd get arrested.
Yeah, the first one was kind of a Hitman derivative with parkour more than anything. So what I ended up doing a lot with those games is just like running around on rooftops until I could see the target and then just jump down and jump away, and that was it.
And but it's quite interesting that they've become much more combat oriented as the games have gone on, which there was combat in the early ones, but I think in Origins I found myself having a lot of kind of sword fights and just like smashing people with my big axe or whatever it is I've got. That's all the ones I've played really. I suppose there's like stuff like Thief and
Yeah, Thief was one that always kind of passed me by. It was just one of those games which I know is really good. But
John loves Thief. John Breeden, our editor.
Yeah.
He's big into that. I think he thought he was going to love Dishonored for that reason.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that he does or not. I mean, John can correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. But I don't think he fell in love with Dishonored as much as he hoped he would.
They are kind of very different experiences, I think.
Yeah.
Having played briefly the third Thief game, yeah, it's not much like Dishonored. There's less acrobatics involved. It is much more of a straight up
just
sneaking
rogue.
Around stealth
And so I suppose our original question is, are there any stealth games anymore?
Yes,
so there are lots of games with stealth elements in them.
Yeah,
but what we'd call like true hardcore old school stealth games.
I mean, it kind of depends. Like, I don't think they're making
Hitman is real. It is really, isn't it? Because, like it you say, the fail game, but state is get spotted and
And you're not doing well anymore. I always think of Hitman as like there. It is a stealth game, but I always think of it as kind of more of an adventure game rather than anything.
Sort of espionage, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but it's kind of you're solving puzzles, you're getting the right item, in this case an outfit which will allow you to access a certain area.
So it's that sort of spy kind of master of disguise almost type thing. There are
some like indie games which are full-on stealth games. So we were talking about something you haven't played and I haven't played in quite a while is Mark of the Ninja, which is a really good 2D stealth game. I can't remember who makes it. It was kind of one of the, I want to say it was like one of the not original indie games, but when indie games started becoming popular,
it was in the early kind of sweep.
And that has really fantastic stealth mechanics because the advantage of doing like it as a 2D platformer is that you don't need a radar screen, you don't need a map.
Yeah.
You can see it all on there and you can utilize it as you see fit, which is really good. Yeah. Another one which is a bit more recent and it's slightly different in it that it's got other mechanics as well, but Gunpoint, which is a similarly sort of visually quite similar, although different art style, again by Tom Francis, who's one of my favourite designers. And we actually saw a really good talk by him at EGX Resd about systemic game design with him and one of the Dishonored devs, and I forget who the third person was. He made one which is very good, and it's kind of about sneaking through office buildings and office complexes while rewiring their electricity systems to make the lights and switches and doors do stuff for you. And you also have a pair of trousers which let you jump really high, which is not very
that's not what I thought you were
gonna exactly
say.
That's a very good stealth game as well.
Yeah.
So I think in indie circles there are a few really stealth focused games like that.
Yeah. I wonder if that game, was it Ghost of Tsushima that was at E3? I wonder if that's going to have some kind of Tenchu style elements to it.
I forget which one that was. There were a couple of samurai games.
It was the samurai one with the older woman as the sort of sidekick, and it's during the Mongol invasion, and they are rescuing the monk. And then, but she wants to kill the monk and he doesn't. And so they have this big argument. Then the Mongols come and they have to fight back to back to fight them. So they're back together. But it seemed like from the trailer that there might be elements of kind of sneaking over rooftops and things like that. Sort of Tenchu-esque feel.
Yeah.
But there's not much else coming up that I can think of. That there's The Last of Us Part 2. Be interesting to see how much of that is still stealth.
I mean, the from the gameplay stuff we saw in the trailer, I would say probably quite a lot, because they did show
it's
off
the real
the kind
character
of
the games. Yeah,
and you're playing as Ellie now, who is kind of less physically imposing than Joel
was.
And like, my favorite parts of the kind of original Last of Us were not so much the DLC, but there are, well, actually, no, it is in the DLC. There are some parts where you play as Ellie and you are just very, like, physically unable to combat, like, the five-armed bastards who are coming after you for whatever reason.
Mm.
And you have to kind of resort to sneaking around, hiding behind stuff, throwing, like, distractions and
everything
from there. Yeah. And those were kind of my favorite parts of that game. So I'm looking forward to seeing a full game of it. Although there is, like, an action sequence in that trailer as well, in which she does kind of
just
fuck a lot of people up.
And then I suppose that leads back to Tomb Raider. The new Tomb Raider games kind of go that kind of route as well. Although I mean, it's more action based, but I mean, they don't have the, I suppose if we're saying the key identifiers of being able to see through what, you know, like sense people,
then no,
it doesn't. But she does still do a fair amount of sneaking around before she just
definitely.
Like cuts people's throats.
It's got kind of that same Uncharted kind of stealth mechanics, where it's kind of
sort of clumsy stealth.
You're given areas in which, like, you can, you're told, you can sneak around in this, but probably at some point you're going to get seen and have to start shooting.
Yeah,
so
you're going
to
step
it too
on
much.
You're going to step on a twig. In that case, just kill him.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's all I've got on stealth games. I'll jump into Hitman, and mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that because I haven't played it for a really long time. But they are a time sink.
They really are.
Yeah, you have to just learn the thing and then just take it easy. Which is quite nice. I'm gonna jump in because it's set in Marrakesh, which is somewhere I've been, and they are really, really good at atmosphere and tone and setting, the Hitman games. Because the last one I played was that first episode they did, which was in somewhere like Capri or the Amalfi Coast or somewhere glamorous.
It's, the first one is in Paris and the second one is in Italy.
So I'm looking forward to kind of creeping through Marrakesh and through the souk. That should be really good. Although you'd think people would notice him because he's got a freaking barcode. It's like there's this bald guy again.
That's always been the kind of, just ignore that bit.
Funny. Yeah, because he's dressed in some sort of like ill-fitting pizza delivery outfit. And nobody notices. It's brilliant. So it's the opposite of Splinter Cell, really.
Yes.
Those terms.
Splinter Cell was never afraid to poke fun at itself either, but it framed it in a sort of, a Tom Clancy style story, which is
going for. And so that is stealth games.
Cool.
We like them, do you?
That's our question for this week.
The pressing question.
Oh, my. Do you like stealth games? Tell us in the comments if you like.
And you can do that in all the places that you get your podcasts.
You can.
Including gamersfree.com, @ArgueTheCast on Twitter, and everywhere else you'll find us. Marvelous. And if you like give us a rating or a thumbs up or whatever it is in the place you are. That'd be really great and helpful. And say hello.
I think this is the slickest ending we've ever done.
We're good. Said at the beginning,
after we started so well, we've just maintained that level of professionalism.
As always.
Yeah.
And this has been your slick episode of Are You the Toss? Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.